Help DEA keep our communities safe and healthy by participating in National Prescription Drug Takeback Day, Saturday, October 25th. Take action right in your own home by cleaning out your medicine cabinet of unneeded medications. Keep them safe, clean them out, take them back. Find a collection site near you at DEATakeback.com. Do your part to lower overdose deaths and prevent prescription drug misuse before it starts. That's DEATakeback.com.
What's up? Hi, welcome. Happy Sunday. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays, whatever you celebrated. We're going to be talking about episode 18 of Before the 90 Days. So, yeah, we got no Tiger Lily and Adnan tonight, but we got quite a bit of Vaya and Sunny and Joey and Magda and Miles and Matilda. Hey, Judy. Hola, Judy. Hey, Jal. We're waiting on Heather to drop by so we can get started. Oh, she's already here. Hold on. Hey, let me add her in here. Hello, or the finale yet. So there's that. So I don't know how many more episodes we had. I heard that there's 20 and then two tell-alls. So that's what I heard. Hi.
Hey.
Hey, can you speak?
I was like, I'm at the door knocking. Let me in.
I didn't see that you requested. I was like, we're waiting on you, and then I looked and you were already here. So episode 18, we're 18 episodes in, and there's no talk of the finale or the tell-all. So how do you feel? Do you feel like this season has been dragging on? Do you feel like there's because you mentioned earlier, you were like, wasn't Renee and Chidi on this season? That seems like such a long time ago, right? Like, I feel like, do you feel like it's been like a season and a half?
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I was like, wait a second, because I had to think about it. Because like I said in the last show that I did with you, I said that, you know, 90 Day has changed up so much with them recycling a lot of the same people that for me, a lot of it has been like a real hit or miss. So I was like excited when I saw that they were finally bringing on like so many new people. I was like, okay, finally, like we can get to know people or whatever. And I was like, wait a second, like, wasn't there Renee and Chidi? Like, because I like, they were so toxic, but I enjoyed watching their story. And yeah, I like them better than the ones they replaced. I can't think of their name right now.
I have some bad news. Oh, you're thinking of Joey and Magda. But yeah, the bad news is Renee's not going to be at the tell-all. Remember, she went on this long rant. She actually said the other day she wasn't fired, but she was not invited to the tell-all. Just like Statler was not invited to her tell-all. The tell-all has been filmed and Renee was not there. So I don't know if that's good news or bad news for you, because a lot of people wanted to see her at the tell-all. She wasn't there, unfortunately. And Statler, we're watching a lot of people get disinvited to tell-alls now. It used to not be like that, but now each time someone does something, the severity of it determines if they're going to be allowed at the tell-all. Because the other way tell-all was actually really chill, because Statler wasn't allowed to be there. And I think that this tell-all is probably going to be the same way. There's not going to be a lot of conflict and craziness because Renee was the one who brought all that.
Exactly.
I kind of feel like they need to follow through. If you're going to make us watch them on the season, you can't tell them they can't come to the tell-all, because I kind of feel like we earned it. We earned their position at the tell-all, whether or not they broke NDA or whatever. That's on you. Sue them, you know, like sue them. Okay. Like sue them. But if we had to endure watching the whole season, it would only be fair that we would get to watch them at the tell-all. Okay. So I want to talk about, somebody mentioned on Twitter, there were two discussions of anal sex tonight. And a lot of people felt like this was unacceptable and it was ridiculous. So, situation
number, two times?
Yes, okay. I'm going to enlighten you on this. Right. So, Joey said to Magda in the car at the beginning of the episode that he would really appreciate anal that night. Remember that? That was right at the beginning of the episode. And then she immediately said, oh, you stick something up there and you let me know if you like it. And then, yeah, remember? So, that was situation number one. Situation number two, Mr. Ark had to educate Niles on, in their culture, they don't do anything with the butt, right? Like, they don't do that. And
hold on.
Did you not?
I'm sorry. I was reading your comments And they said, did you see the small clip of the tell-all?
Well, no. Mm-hmm. Wait, I was watching on TLC Go, so I didn't see the small clip of the tell-all. So this must have been on live TV. Did they say how many episodes away it was? Because I watched on TLC Go.
Yeah, and there at was the another end episode.
The end of the episode, there was just, it said next time on Before the 90 Days, and we got the next episode. It was with Vea having a conversation with Sunny's dad. So, mm-hmm. and it was Tiger Lily saying that Adnan was making financial decisions. Okay, so somebody please enlighten me.
Yeah.
This clip, did it say how many episodes were left until we got to the tell-all? Because that was what I was looking for. I'm beginning to realize where you watch the show is important. The previews that you get and the tell-all and the info is different. So when I watched on TLC Go, I got none of this. So I'm going to have to go back to the DVR and fast forward to the end and watch the live TV version so I can see how far away from the tell-all we are, because I don't even know what happened on this clip. I'm completely dumbfounded. Yeah. I didn't get to see any of that. So, I want to talk about, wait, where should we go? We're talking about, let's just stick with Joey and Magda, because this situation with Jill is Joey's friend from 7 years ago where they hooked up for like 3 or 4 months and then it didn't work out. They became friends. Oh, I don't recall what the clip was, but it was about Vea. Okay, yeah. So I'll just go back tonight and I'll watch it.
They're going to go back and
report back. We'll still be here, promise. Okay, so Joey and Magda, he finally revealed after they had sex. Okay, so Magda said first, she said they weren't going to have sex until they got engaged. Then that changed until they got married and were in the U.S. Then all of a sudden, a night in the hot tub led to them being intimate.
Hi.
And she feels very she feels very betrayed, because she said, you waited until we were intimate. And then the next day, it was the timing for her. You decided to tell me that you were intimate with your friend from 7 years ago. So I want to ask you a question. 7 years is a long time, right? Like 7 years, you could have paid off a car. You could have paid off a personal loan. You could have rebuilt your credit. So 7 years is a long time. So how do you feel about Magda's anger towards an ex being friends with the person she's with? Because she literally said, her words, not mine, I will rip her eyes out and eat them. Okay? So like, do you have that same anger and hatred towards exes being friends?
Okay. I get where he's coming from. Because clearly, like, his background and everything, he probably just, like, grew up and, you date and then you can, like, move forward. Basically, I think that with her, she is very insecure, as though I'm not sure why, because she's a very pretty girl. I feel like she's got some stuff going for her, but there is something about her where she definitely jumps in and moves too fast. So maybe she feels threatened. Maybe she feels like there's a like possibility that this girl could come in and swoop him away and then it will ruin her odds of coming here. Because, well, I mean, she was very, very, very like particular about, we need to get married at this date, we need to have kids, we need to do this, that, and the other. Well, and it's like
she mentioned the guy, right, from Germany that she moved in with.
Yeah,
she was like, oh, he was a liar, he cheated on me, my friend saw him in the club with another girl, with his ex. And then she said his phone went dead and then she couldn't get a hold of him. So I think, like what you said, it's a trigger for her because she's been in relationships where guys lied to her face or cheated on her and denied it. I can understand the trigger, but 7 years, and him and Jill are still friends. Joey and Jill are still friends. So clearly, if they wanted to be having sex, they could still be. But obviously, it's not that type of relationship.
This is the thing. Like, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but like, this is just like, I think what the thing is that because she is in another country, she can't see what's going on. And like you said, they could still be sleeping together. They could still be having relations and just saying, no, we're just friends. And she's supposed to just believe it. But look how many times he's withheld information from her. since he's been there.
Yeah.
So yeah. At this point, her trust factor is probably just hanging on by a little thread, you know? So, I mean, it's his fault. He should have been honest from the start. If he wanted to be friends with this girl, he should have just said, hey, this is what it is. You know, 7 years, we're more like family. We dated, didn't work out, you know, whatever. And then she might have looked at it differently. But with him withholding information from her over and over and over again, it's not a good look.
Well, you're right. A track record is very, very important. Like, when somebody runs your credit, they want to know what you've been doing over the last few years, you know? So, and it's the same with a relationship. If you've been lying and withholding information from someone, your track record sucks. So trust is, especially like you said, she's on the other side of the world. She's all the way in Poland. He's all the way in, I think, Florida. That's a lot of trust. That's a huge amount of trust. And you don't know what people are doing. There's a huge time difference. You can't track them. Right? It's impossible to track this, but you have to sleep at some point, right? So you don't know what they're doing. So if you don't trust the person and their track record sucks, I totally understand that. Do you think it's to the point where, because she's basically ready to dump him and be done, do you think that his trust got them to that point, or do you think she's overreacting? You know, do you think maybe she is taking it a little too far?
I don't think that neither one of them is ready for this relationship, to be honest with you. He can't even say her name correctly. So that, to me, is kind of crazy. It's not even that hard to pronounce either. Because normally I always, like, struggle with, like, I'm trying to pronounce names and stuff. But hers is fairly easy. And he just is adding letters that just aren't there. But aside from that, I just think that they're not maybe for each other, per se. I don't see it being a long-lasting relationship if they did stay together. I really don't see it. Because I feel like with her coming to the United States, which was her ultimate end goal, I think that it would have been a recipe for disaster. I'm not going to put her on the same status of, like, Natalie. But I feel like she could get a little bit, you know, extra. Especially if there's other girls around and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. She comes across as a hothead. I do see that. Like, with Natalie throwing girls drinks and starting fights with people, I could kind of see that with her. And Joey is a real estate agent, and he hangs out with lots of males and females.
Yeah.
You know, he has to go show houses, and he might be showing a house to a very attractive woman. Right? Like, that's part of his job. So I can see how her being jealous and her having that insecurity could put her in a bad situation, you know, because when you don't trust somebody, even innocent things look strange to you because you just don't trust them. Like, he might just be working and doing his job, but you might look at it as, oh, you're in a house alone with some woman and I called you and you didn't pick up. You know, and it could be innocent, but for her, it's not innocent. She's like, well, why didn't you pick up? What were you doing? He could have just been actually showing the house, you know, but in her mind, you lied to me before, you were sleeping with your friends, I've dated a person who cheated on me before, like, so it is a whole thing that, and again, it's probably more her than him.
Yeah.
I think that, like you said, he's a playboy, and I think it's weird that he woke up one day and met this girl and decided he wanted to settle down and have kids. That's really weird for a man. It usually takes more than a week for you to figure that out, to go from a player to a husband. It usually takes longer. So I think his whole situation is a little odd too. Because even his family, when he talked to his family, they were like, of all the people at this table, you want to put your player card away and you want to marry some girl that you've never slept with. That doesn't sound like you at all. Right? Like, that doesn't, so everyone can see that it's crazy that he thinks that he's ready to settle down. I think, like he said, settling down is far beyond the realm of his existence. Oh, so one more episode before the tell-all. So episode 19 is the finale. Guys, next week is the finale of Before the 90 Days, and then we're going into the two-part tell-all. Finally. I'm excited, actually. I'm excited for this tell-all. I feel like this season has been dragging on. And, oh, so Faith and Lauren ended today, basically. They ended today. Hey, Tracy! They ended today, and they met one last time, but nothing changed. You know, Faith was just like, look, I can't be with someone who is crazy, right? And we've all came to the consensus that Lauren is crazy. I will be team Lauren for like a hot second. I don't think Lauren is a violent, crazy person, because she's like, oh, you know, he was violent with the cup on his head or the bottle on his head and the butter knife. And I had this conversation on Shibuti's podcast the other day. It was more so, I think Shibuti explained it to me, that trans women are very triggered by aggression and anger towards men. Because a lot of times they'll go into a relationship with a man, they'll be totally fine that they're trans, but something might happen or someone might find out, and then they're very aggressive towards that woman because they don't want other people to know that they're in a relationship. So I think that was the triggering issue that Faith felt. She's like, well, I'm alone in a hotel room with this guy who claims he's okay with trans women, but now he's like being violent, he's breaking things, he's playing with knives. That can be a trigger for a trans woman, because there was a time I remember in the 90s where people were just unaliving trans women, right? Do you remember that? There was like a horrible dark period for trans women in the world. And I think that for Faith, it's not so in the distant past, right? Like it's something that she thinks about, because a lot of people are like, so he comes over with an STD, he's cheating on you, he asked to marry your mom, that's all fine. But the second he breaks a can on his head, you got to run away. And I think that kind of explains it for me.
I felt bad for Faith because I feel like she just generally wanted to be loved. You know what I mean? She had mentioned that Lauren was her first boyfriend. So I feel like she just really, really, really wanted to like have everything just work out and be perfect. And
yeah.
I don't think that she like necessarily ignored the red flags. I think she just swept a lot of them under the rug. She took his apologies too quickly, if you ask me. I mean, first of all, if you're coming over to be with me and the whole point and principle of the matter is to ultimately make me your fiance and we're going to get married, there's no reason why you should have concocted any type of STD,
yeah,
like right before you came, because you can't even say that it was like, you know, like a gray area. You couldn't say it's like, oh, we were separated or anything like that. I mean,
yeah,
let's just be honest for a moment. We saw from the jump that Lauren was never serious. He, I don't want to call him an opportunist, but I feel like he was going to do whatever he needed to do to make life work out for him. Didn't necessarily have to be fame and fortune, but he was so down bad that I feel as though he wanted something to work out, because I had saw a snippet of this interview he did and said that he was like, okay, I'm going on this show, 90 Day Fiance. I never watched it a day in my life.
Mm-hmm.
But all of a sudden, he was going to go over here, try to be with Faith. And he already had a plan B. He had said that if things did not work out with Faith, he was going to be okay because he already had somebody else lined up. And somebody had mentioned it in your comments that he had already moved on. And I'm not surprised. I did not hear that, but I'm not surprised, because you can tell that that man is an opportunist. Well, and that's why I feel bad for Faith.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think Faith said in one of the episodes, she's like, I never thought that I could find someone that would just accept me for me.
Right.
And then, so the red flags were there, but she also looked at it as, for some reason, she didn't think she deserved to be loved fully, but she does. But she looked at it as, well, this is an opportunity for me. I might not ever find someone who fully accepts me. And she let a lot of stuff slide.
And she,
you know, because she thought,
like, she's got a job. She looks great. She's beautiful. She has a lot going on for her. She doesn't have to settle with some piece of crap that already has all of this stuff lined up. Like, I'm not going to be your, you know, your first choice, your second choice. No, it's me or nothing, you know, and then we go our separate ways and then you move on. Like, there's no reason why, you know, we're going into this and, you know, if it works out with me, if not, oh, well, no, you know, what is that saying? No, skid off your back or something like that. You're just going to move on with somebody else. It'd be like, you can't say I'm going to marry your mom and all this. I'm like, who says that? That's why I can't take this man seriously. I can't. And I hate that he wasted her time.
Well, right when he got back, apparently the news just came out. He got married to a trans woman in Las Vegas. And this divorce was finalized within this last week.
Wait, so he married and divorced the same person?
After he got back from the Philippines with Faith, right after he married a woman, a trans woman in Vegas, because, you know, he's been living in Vegas. And now the information just came out because the divorce was just finalized.
Okay.
You know, this info actually came out about Vea, too. Vea was married to someone named Nate between when she was with Rory and she was with Sunny. And then that divorce went through, I think, in 2022, 2023. So does this surprise you that, I mean, the Vea thing surprised me, but like you said, Lauren would marry whoever he would marry if it would improve his situation. So the fact that he got back here, clearly not heartbroken over what happened with Faith. He married the first person he saw and probably moved into their house, right? Because he's made it clear that he couch surfs. Because, you know, when they're looking for you for child support, as long as you are couch surfing, it's harder for them to locate you specifically because you could be anywhere.
Yeah.
So I think that had a lot to do with it, too. But like you said, this was Faith's first real relationship. And I think she's going to have a lot of damage from this. Like, because now, you know what they say, you base how you trust and how you love based on the first relationship you ever been in. So for Faith, the first thing that she ever experienced was Lauren. So now she's going to think that all men are complete psychopaths who are liars and they bring home gonorrhea. And, you know, so she's going to expect, it's going to be hard for her to actually trust and fall in love again because she's going to assume the next guy is going to be trying to use her. Of all the people, right? Like, we've been watching this show for 10 years, over 10 years. No one has ever tried to go to another country, a third world country at that, and try to use those people. This was like the first of its kind, right? Like, usually they want to come over here and get something. He's trying to marry her so he can live in the hotel with her and hide. Like, this was the first of its kind. We've never seen the reverse green card. Right, it was literally a reverse green card, and it blew up in his face because he didn't actually do any research. It turns out he can't get married in the Philippines to her, and he can't get married in Thailand to her. It's just not legal. So once he got over there and it blew up in his face, it was done. Right, when he was doing that and playing with the knife and doing the cup on his head, that was his reaction to, oh my God, my plan blew up in my face. Now I'm back to square one. I have to go back to the USA where I'm going to be homeless because I can't afford my child support. I think he had given up, but
that's
he didn't
tell
Faith.
He follow her out of the room. He just let her go because he's like, well, what good are you to me? I can't even move here because of you. So he was just like, oh, well, just like he said in his interview before the season, you know, he said, if this doesn't work out, oh, well, I'll find somebody else who will. And if you want to be a couch hopper, that's fine. But do it on your own time. Like, don't bring innocent people in on your, like, weird little schemes and everything and try to convince somebody that you truly love them and care about them when you don't. You only care about what they can do for you. And that's just disgusting behavior. And I feel like TLC probably, I mean, obviously it makes good TV, but since it's real life people that have to go through this crap, it probably would have been better to, like, not even air him when he had ruined his, you know, agreement with them before the show even started. I would have been like, you know what, now we're not filming with you. Like, why are you rewarding bad behavior? Like, that's why the world is the way it is, because people reward bad behavior.
That's why people are annoyed, because he's going to be on the tell-all, but Renee's not. And it's like, I'm sick of picking and choosing. Like, hold everybody to the same standard. Right? Like, he did that podcast before they even started filming. He broke his NDA before they even put him on camera. But he gets to go to the tell-all, but Renee doesn't get to go. And it's like, I'm sick of the picking and choosing. Hold everybody to the same standard or just drop the standard. Right? Like, if you violate an NDA, take them to court. That's what it's for. You know, like, you can't, it's like they do everything except that, oh, Pineapple, you made a good point. Danielle did reverse green card Johan. I forgot. This was not the first of its kind. It was the second of its kind. Danielle was the first one to trick him. Well, she told him, I remember, she told him, she said to his family that she was going to bring him to New York and he was going to be able to get a job and he was going to help them. And then she pretended, she's like, I never said that. And she reversed green carded him. So you're right. This has happened more than once. It's unfortunate, but it has. Also, Vanja told us this crazy long drawn out story. They drew it out over an hour and a half of how Yoshko and her they spent the rest of their time together. They didn't sleep together, by the way, while they were in Croatia. And he actually did a 10-day trip to Orlando, and things were going really well. It looked like things were flourishing. And then at the very end of the episode for next week's finale preview, she said that he texted her and said, I can't be with you. So we don't know what's going on. We don't know why. I mean, my first guess is he's fostering a child. And, you know, when you're fostering a child, you're not fully the parent yet. So you can't take that child to another country. So I'm assuming lady he just met versus child that he's going to have forever. He's picking the child, which any normal person would do, right? Right. Like, I can't imagine what else it would be. I don't think he was cheating or he's married. I don't think it's any of the crazy things that people were saying. I think he just went and talked to a judge or a lawyer, and they're like, oh yeah, you can go to this country, but you can't take your child. And he was like, well, I just met her. This child is mine forever. You know, I'm going to pick the child. And it's unfortunate. That's why you don't go on vacation to try to find a husband or a wife, you know, because you're asking way too much of the other person to give up their whole life, especially somebody who has an infant. And you're asking them like, hey, do you want to pick me or do you want to pick the infant? That's not even a fair thing to put on someone. And I'm pretty sure until he becomes the actual adopted father, you can't go anywhere. Because I'm pretty sure when it's fostering, doesn't that mean the parent can, like, has the right to take the child back if they improve their situation? Isn't that what fostering means? I'm pretty sure fostering is temporary, and then you apply for the adoption, and then that has to be approved by the judge. So yeah, he can't go anywhere. If he leaves, he's going to leave the child that he's grown accustomed to, attached to. This child thinks that this is its dad. So, I mean, I understand that Vanja's hurt, but at the same time, she just met him. So the idea that they were even having conversations of who's going to move where after a week and a half of knowing each other seems a little cuckoo to me, right? That's cuckoo, right? Who does that?
Because it's not about Bojo. I'm so sorry. I told you, I'm a horrible name. Okay. Sorry. So I don't think it's about him. I don't. I think it is a little bit in her mind about the dude she originally came there for. And then her love story ended with him. So I think like mentally, she was like living out how it was supposed to have been with the original guy she was there to see. I think that he basically was just like a filler, and like it kind of like mentally stimulated what was supposed to have happened. And I think that's why she took it so hard, because I mean, there are people, I hear it a lot, that, you know, meet people that they'll call the love of their life, and they would say, we dated for 2 weeks, a month later we're engaged, 3 months later we're married, a year later we have kids. I mean, that does happen. You know, we hear that all the time. So, I mean, it's not like maybe she couldn't have fallen for him, but I think it was more so the idea.
Well,
but that's just my opinion.
But I think she's also at a place in her life where she's not looking to just hook up. So every time she meets a guy, she starts to plan a future with that guy. But you have to remember, when you first meet somebody, you still have to date that person. You can't just meet them and say, oh, I like you, you like me, when are we getting married? You still need to date, because just because you like them at the beginning doesn't mean that they're not an axe murderer, or they're not like a serial cheater or a liar, or someone who doesn't do their own laundry, or someone who doesn't clean up after themselves. You still need to date the person. But I think at her stage in her life, she's like, at this point, I want to be married and have a family. So the idea of just hooking up is a turnoff for her, because she's like, I'm way more mature than that. But she kind of skips over the dating process, because she literally, within the second date with Yoshiko, she was like, I don't know what we're going to do, because I want to be with him. And he has a kid, and I think I'll be a good stepmom. And I'm like, you're way early to be thinking about being a stepmom to his kid. You haven't even met the kid yet. Like,
nor do I think she should. It's too soon. It's could you imagine if he would have introduced her to his child while she was there, just for him to like break up with her in the end? Like, how confusing for a child. Like, I'm glad that he didn't go that route, but like you said, the way she was kind of like freaking out and like overly pre-planning everything, it's just kind of like, slow down, chill out a little bit. You know, like, you're only sporadically spending time with each other. They didn't even give a chance to have a long distance relationship. She said they were, that she was only back for 2 months. He already booked a 10-day visit to see her. And in that time frame, he managed to break up with her. And it's like, they didn't even give it a chance. Like, couldn't they have at least tried to be like long distance until like 90-day fiance? What is it? Like before the 90-day, like whatever spin-off.
Well, no, they're on before the 90 days now. So you would transition from before the 90 days to OG 90-day fiance when you have your visa. Yeah. But like you said she was back a few weeks and he was about to book his trip. Like you said, it moved too fast on both. And I blame him too. It moved too fast on both parts. He shouldn't have been even entertaining conversations of, do I want to move to Orlando to be with this woman? They should have dated. Dating is so important to the process of getting to know people. And I think a lot of people, because of the dating apps and the hookup apps, they forget how important it is to date and get to know people and see the red flags and see them at their worst and their best. I think a lot of people are like, oh, well, I like this person. They like me. Let's plan a future. You still need time. It's like a trial one. You get a job. The job is going to hire you. They like you, but they're also going to give you 90 days. If you do anything they don't like in those 90 days, they kick you out. And that's kind of how relationships should work. There should be a trial period between both parties so you can get to know the person and make sure that they're not an axe murderer, right? Or, you know, I don't want to go there with everything, but like, just make sure that they're tolerable, somebody that you could deal with. Because look at her and Boja. She thought he was a match. She thought that that was the guy that she wanted to spend the rest of her life with. She got there within 5 minutes. She realized he was garbage, right? But that's what she needs to take time to
date. She did. I don't know. I hope that wherever, you know, she goes, you know, I wish her the best of luck. I really do. You could tell that the girl just wants to find love. She just wants to, like, have that happily ever after. And hopefully she'll find it, you know? I mean, I don't know if the long distance. Yeah, like, maybe she should look into local. That way it will be easier for her to see them. But I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel like that's enough about that. They're boring.
Oh.
So that's just my opinion.
Judy said in Eastern Europe, any child who is on an orphan needs to be on the adoption registry for 6 months before an adoption can be finalized. So yeah, there is a, and I think this child is still an infant, is what Yoshiko said, is still a baby. So yeah, he has to wait. And I think that him choosing his kid was the right choice. You know, like, he can move over here and date Vanja for 7, 8, 9, 10 months and break up. And then he lost out on that child forever, you know, because it kind of got adopted to someone else. Right.
But again, we haven't watched that episode yet, so we don't know what the exact reason is.
Sure.
We're just making assumptions. It could have been something completely left field. So I think that we'll have to leave that for next time, just so we can see what the real reason is. Just in case it's not about, you know, long distance or his child.
Yeah, it could be he had a wife. You know what? I've ruled out all of the obvious stuff. It could be something way more obvious. Like, maybe he's got a wife that we didn't know about or something. Who knows? He's came across as a nice guy, but also nice guys can come across as nice and be assholes too. So we shouldn't rule too much out. Okay, so Mr. Ark is the second person to bring up the anal stuff tonight on this episode. But I wanted to ask you a question. Were you surprised that Mr. Ark had all this money? Did you? And he also had a really nice house. Did you see the nice house that they left before the knocking ceremony? So I'm going to be the first to say I doubted that he was going to come up with the money. I thought it was going to be like an IOU. He came up with the money. He showed up as the parents. He really stepped up for Niles because, you know, his parents want nothing to do with it. Very nice for you. Very nice for someone that you just met. And the idea that he had thousands of dollars to just hand to this guy to get married, it really makes you wonder, what does this guy do for a living, right? Because I was like, because, you know, money is pretty hard to come by over there. You could work a million hours and get paid $2. So, like, the fact that he's just handing him, I mean, it was a loan, but let's be real, Niles ain't got no job. So when does he really think he's going to get this money back? So were you surprised that he came through with the money? Because I, for one, said it wasn't going to happen.
I don't know if you want to know what I think or not. Like, to be honest with you, I have this like feeling. Okay, you know how they always say like a parent's intuition is everything, and you know you should always listen because they know what's best for you. Don't you feel that it's like crazy how like Niall's real mom and dad were, that they didn't want to hear nothing about it. They were very adamant about him not marrying her. Doesn't matter how long they were talking on the phone or dating or anything like that.
Right.
They just like didn't want any part of it because they probably feel somewhere down the line there's some type of like scam, maybe a green card situation, whatever. I feel as though, now Judy said that he works with people with disabilities, which, okay, I get, but still, if it's people in their country, they might not have money either to really pay. But like, I don't know that because I don't know him. So that's alleged. I don't know. But what I was going to say with my theory is that what if they're all in cahoots? Because if she moves here, that's money moving back into their country. So what if there's another relative that moved here, either related to her or maybe Mr. Ark or whoever, and then they're coming to America. So he's spotting them. They get married. They get the green card. They come to America. They make better money. The money comes back to them. Right. Like a full circle. So maybe that's why or how he did it. Maybe it's kind of like they all are in cahoots with each other. I don't know.
Oh, I
don't trust,
see what you're saying.
Trust issues.
So,
okay. I don't trust anyone. I have trust
no,
issues.
That could make, so, make sense. I don't know. If they're all in cahoots with each other, you know, they had to make sure that this wedding happened right. on this trip. And if they're all they working together.
Very adamant about it. They were like,
right.
even when he started to push back and he gave her all this stuff, he was like, I don't have a job. Okay. Well, that wasn't a factor. So how are you going to pay somebody back? Like you said, there's no job.
Right.
His parents were not on board. They didn't want no part of it. They didn't want anything. They didn't even want to talk to her. So I don't know. I just feel like maybe there's some type of business where if it makes it work, they have money coming from other places, like a full circle. So I don't know. That's just my theory.
I don't know. Everyone has always had preconceived notions about Matilda. Like, I think Shibuti has told me since day one, he's like, she's trying to get a green card. He's never trusted her, no matter what the situation. Like, he will argue with me back and forth. He's like, I don't trust her. She's a gold digger. She's trying to get money out of Niles. She's barking up the wrong tree, though. Niles said that he's never sent her money. And she verified that when they were in the car and they were arguing. He's like, well, why do you want me to pay for this big ceremony? And she was like, I have never asked you for anything. So it makes no. it seem like she's not a scammer, but not maybe her. Like you said, it's a long-term scam, right?
I actually feel like she loves him. I do. I feel like Matilda might be in it for the right reasons because obviously she hasn't done anything that showed any indication otherwise, especially if she wasn't, you know, taking money from him. I feel that it might be her surrounding circle that might be pushing towards it to get that income back in. Because look, they got her married, so then they got money out of it, they got the food and all that stuff out of it, and all they had to do was marry her off. And then if she comes here, he'll eventually, you know, get a job or he'll get money from 90 day or whatever. And she's going to send it back home. They always do. So.
And Matilda works, you know, she's not one of those, you know, cause you know, there were girls that we've seen come over from other countries, Yara, for instance, like they weren't doing much.
Yeah.
So, but Matilda goes out and works. She said that she's the one that really works the majority out of her family and brings most money back in. So I think if she does get over here, she's going to work. She's not the type who she wants to sit and be taken care of. I think that she's definitely someone who's about her business. If she gets over here and she gets her green card, she's going to take care of herself, whether Niles gets his shit together or not. I feel like she's going to be like, well, I can get a job. I can work. I can take care of myself. And I think she's one of those people who would go over here and make something out of nothing. And I think her family knows that about her. And they're like, well, if we can get her over there, she'll take care of us. And I think you're right. I think maybe they're like, well, as long as we can get this wedding done, We can get this visa done. We can get her over there. She will work twice as hard to take care of everybody, you know, because she's doing it already. That's literally what she does now. She is taking care of the whole family. Because remember, Niles was like, humans shouldn't live like this. When he saw her room, he was like, this is gross. Human beings shouldn't live in these conditions. And she literally works every day.
Yeah.
So imagine what she could do if she was here making closer to a living wage. Right. You know, I think her family is probably like, well, if we get her over to the U.S., she's taking care of us now. Imagine what she could do for us over there. And you might be right. She might actually be in love with him. And the family sees the opportunity. And Mr. Ark might see the opportunity too, right? Like, he's like, well, if we get one of ours out of our village over to the U.S., think of what she can do for us. You know, it might be a more long-term situation that they're looking at.
I hope that his biological parents are at the tell-all. I would love to see them in their point of view now that he went and got married. So, I don't know. Is it like, when they get married over there, does that make it legal over here?
No, but you have to, so you have to get married over there, bring that back here, and you apply for a K-1 visa, and then you have 90 days when they get here to get married here. So technically, the U.S. doesn't acknowledge the marriage that happened in Ghana, but that marriage gives you the right to apply for a K-1 spousal or a K-1 visa to get married here. So if they never got married in Ghana, she wouldn't be able to come over here on a K-1 to get married here. So technically the marriage does matter. They don't acknowledge it. You have to come over here and get married again. But now she can come over on K-1. Some countries you can come over on a spousal. It just depends on what countries acknowledge the marriages and whatnot. Some countries acknowledge them and they're real. And then other countries are like, well, no, you have to come over here and get married again. And that's kind of where the 90-day visa comes in. So, but that the K-1, you normally just have to get engaged and then you can bring them over here and you have 90 days to get married. So technically Niles could try to apply for a spousal visa and see if they will allow him to bring her over as his spouse. It just depends on the law for that particular country. I know when Trump was president, he made it kind of difficult for certain countries to get visas to come over here. Like he made it a deal of his to certain countries. He likes to call certain countries not great. And he would make it more difficult for certain people to get a visa over other people. So I don't know the specifics, but technically if it's approved, he could apply for a spousal to get over, which is a lot faster than the K-1. But I don't know if he would have to do the K-1 and then get married here. I would hate for him to have to do another wedding. I feel like he didn't have the money for this one. So I don't think, I mean, they could go to the Justice of the Peace and pay like, what, $85. But I don't think he can afford anything else. But Pineapple said it before, he has to have a certain income to apply for the visa. I think it's $50,000 a year is the minimum income to apply for a visa. We actually learned this from Rebecca and Zayed, because Rebecca had a really good job, but it didn't pay $50,000. She was just underneath the threshold. And she quit her job and became a general manager at a fast food restaurant because that job paid $58,000 and it put her over and she was able to apply for Zayed's visa.
Now that's
and you know, but
he quits her job. Yeah, she had a, to go work at fast food just to bring your man here. Now that's love.
I hold the green card, and when I have to renew it, they grill both my husband and I for an interview, and we have been married 25 years. What? Wait, so Dion, you have a green card, and you've been here for 25 years, and when it's time for renewal, they grill you as though your marriage is not real? It's 25 years. If anybody has been pretending for 25 years, that's just marriage now. Spousal visa requires them to be married 2 years before you can come here. Oh, so Judy, that means that Niles would need to apply for a K-1. Because actually, the promise that he made to Mr. Ark and her family was 3 months he was going to bring her over, which I think was a crazy thing to say, because you can't determine how quickly a visa gets approved. There isn't, you know how if you apply for a passport, you can pay a little extra and they'll process it faster? That doesn't work the way with visas. So, like, and it's funny because, say, for instance, you're over here, but you want to bring your kids over here and you miss them. You can't just give them an extra $500 to make it faster. You just have to wait as long as it takes, which I think is insane, because there might be a mom needing her children to be here. They don't care. It takes however long that it takes. So yeah, for the 2 years, he wouldn't meet that requirement because he wanted to get her here within 3 months. And as far as I know, she's not here. I've been watching his social media and I've been watching the blogs and the accounts. I haven't seen any proof that Matilda is physically here. So I don't know. And I think they filmed this 9 or 10 months ago. So he's already over the 3 month promise, which we already knew was gonna happen. Wait, some countries, they make you go back to your home country for the interview so they can deny it if you're already back in your home country. Really? Because if you're in America and you're on a visa, why would you need to go back to your home country for the interview? That doesn't make sense. Wait, I've been in the States since I was 8 and I am 50 now. And every time I renew my green card, they grill us both in the interview. Huh. That seems very unnecessary. That's, you've been here 42 years.
That's the thing that I get so upset about when I watch these shows, because there's people like Dion in the world that is actually like in this long time relationship. She's lived here since she was young. You know, clearly there's no scamming going on. No. She's just trying to live her life. And the fact that she has to keep going through this, you know, crap over and over and over again, all because of shows like 90 Day Fiancé that has a lot of opportunists in it showing, yeah, hey, I just want a better life. I don't care who you are, what you look like, as long as you can get me here so I can move on and get my life. They're the reason why this process is the way it is and why innocent people have to go through this. And, you know, I feel bad for that. I'm sorry that you have to, yeah, go through that as a person who just wants to live your life and be in your relationship and, you know, be with your family, whatever your situation is. Like, I just feel bad that you just, I think you've proven that you could be a United States citizen by now. Yeah. Like, that's, you know, in my eyes, that's more than enough time for somebody to be like, okay, yeah, I think they're serious. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I didn't even realize that. I thought after a while they just give you a permanent green card. Like, that just shows how ignorant I am, because I just assumed
maybe celebrities.
After 10 years, they just gave you a permanent green card and they just left you alone. That's just what I assumed. I had no idea, because she said it's very scary. And I can only imagine how scary that is. You're sitting in an interview and they're grilling you and their goal is to find something wrong with what you're saying to send you back. That's inducing a lot of stress, because you built your life here. You've been here since you were 8. You're 50 years old. You have no life in your home country. You wouldn't even recognize it. If you were to go there, it would be a complete foreign land to you. But their goal seems to be to send you back to a place that you only spent 8 years of your life, but you've spent 42 years of your life here, but they make it seem like you don't belong. It's just sad. Oh, does anyone remember Fernanda?
Yeah, I remember.
Oh, Fernanda and Jonathan. Yeah, I remember that too. She got over here really fast and she left him really fast. You remember that? She got over here, they were fighting and she left him really quickly. And a lot of people said that she was an opportunist, and she's actually very successful here. She's doing really well. She did The Single Life with her boyfriend. He's like a really famous MMA fighter. I don't know if y'all saw that. Fernanda, yeah, she's doing really good, but it makes you question, did she ever love Jonathan? Like, what was her plan? Because she was with Jonathan for such a small amount of time. And, you know, it definitely, wait, allegedly for domestic violence. Wait, what was for less domestic violence? I missed the comment. Hold on. Wait, was Jonathan a Fernanda? Is that what it was?
That was so long ago.
Yeah, that was a long time ago. I do remember they were, he's a boxer, but they broke up. Oh, with the boxer? I do remember the boxer. He was on The Single Life with Fernanda, I think the same season that Veronica or Tim was on. Maybe Tim. I definitely, we're going back years, guys.
That's a very long time ago. Yeah.
Yeah, this is a long time ago. This was probably back when Molly was on The Single Life. If that was probably season one. Like, we're going back really far.
Did we get through all the people? No, we didn't talk about Vea.
Oh, yeah.
So y'all have to hurry up and get her in. Yeah. Because it's almost time for your part two.
Yeah, we only got a few minutes. So Vea and Sunny have decided. Okay, so last week Wait, Judy says I'm going to do that, but I have dual citizenship. Okay, so last week, Sonny said, you have to convert to my religion. We're not going to be together. He stormed out. We assume they broke up. This week, they go on a nature walk after sleeping in the same room. I was very confused. And then he decides to propose to Vea and go against his entire family and religion and marry a non-Muslim woman, which was something that I was very, very surprised by. Like, I never saw Sonny as someone who was fully committed to his religion, obviously, because he was having sex before marriage. But I didn't see him as somebody who would take on his father, because when his father was insulting Vea about her appearance, her weight, her tattoos, he sat very quiet. And, you know, so I assume, okay, so his dad is the one person in the world that he will not fight with. So the fact that he's going to propose to her and marry her and then move to the U.S., I was really shocked. I personally think that they don't belong together. They both have more issues that belong to that are singular issues. I don't think they should be in a relationship together until they both figure out all the issues they have going on. But how do you feel about he wanted to keep it a secret? And then Vea's like, no, we should tell your dad. And then the dad, next week at the finale, we're going to see how the dad reacts, which is bad. I mean, we knew it was going to be bad. We saw the way he spoke to Vea at the very first meeting. The dad wants nothing to do with her. And I guess he's willing to give up his entire... No, better question. Would you be willing to give up everything in your life, your parents, your friends, people that support you, for somebody that you just met, like, for 2 weeks? Like, would you be willing to do that? Like, is any connection that strong for you?
Not when the relationship started off with a lie, because I traveled there with my ex-boyfriend and you don't know basically anything about me. Your religion basically hates everything that I've done, wore, dress, tattoos, piercings. Like, no, I definitely won't. The time frame that she had been there, they've broken up more times than they were together. And I feel like she is the type of person that wants to get a rise out of it, because she already knows what's going to happen. She already knows the dad's going to spaz out and whatever. And I just think that he is, I don't want to say the word, whooped. And, you know, because it's funny that he was all like, no, we're breaking up, we're doing this. And then they sleep together. And then now all of a sudden he's like, oh my God, I'm so in love with you, babe. Oh my God, like, we're going to get married. Until they go and tell his dad. And I can probably guess on how that is going to go over. Dad's going to say, which we saw, no, you're not. And he's going to say, okay, just like, what was the couple? Help me out here. Blonde hair, older, and then she was like way older than him, and the mom hated her. The daughter sent you products to try out. What is her name? Help me out, guys.
Oh, Jenny
and Submit. Thank you. So many people. That is exactly the same thing. Submit was all talk to Jenny, said everything that she wanted to hear until it came time for the parents to be involved. And then it's like, he never said it. And I feel like this is just a carbon copy of the same thing. Vea is going to come back to the United States without Sonny. Sonny's going to go. And I think that, I don't think Sonny necessarily wants to marry her. I think he just wants to like have this like American type fantasy to kind of like go against his parents' wishes, but he doesn't want to do it bad enough where they like, you know, throw him out of their lives forever.
She's just gonna go back
because think about it, once she goes back, her ex-boyfriend is there. That was his problem in the first place. They both live here. They're friends.
Well,
Rory wasn't gonna be friends.
Rory lives in Ohio and she lives in Florida, so they're far enough away, but they're gonna talk every day, right? They're gonna talk every day. And that was
in Ohio.
Rory's in Ohio.
Nice.
And she's in Florida. She used to also live in Lake County, Ohio when they were together. And then when they broke up.
Okay.
Yeah, when they broke
up.
She's from
Lake County
here. Yeah, she's actually mentor actually.
Okay.
And actually, when they broke up, but her family's here, so she's always been down here. But when her and Rory were together, she moved to live with him for 3 years.
Okay. In Ohio. But I'm saying, like, that's still United States. That's like, what, less than 4 hour plane ride. They're still going to talk to each other. And that's why they broke up like 50 billion times while she was in his country. So no, they're not going to end up married. Spoiler alert. They're not going to end up married.
I knew that I knew that was the case because he was like, let's keep it a secret. And I was like, oh, he wants to keep it a secret. So as long as his dad doesn't know, his dad can't disapprove, right? Because she, like you said, she's back in Florida. She doesn't, and if she does come back and visit, he'll just make sure dad doesn't see her, right? Like, it's a forbidden fruit situation.
There's not going to be a marriage.
She's a tattooed American girl, which is completely against everything in his religion. It's a forbidden fruit situation. Everybody wants the fruit you're not supposed to have. And
she's not Tiger Lily. She's not going to do like Tiger Lily did and complain, but go along with it. She's not the type. You can tell. She flat out told the dad, nope, I'm not converting for you. I'm not covering my tattoos for you. Plain sight.
Wait.
So,
yeah. Judy, I watched on TLC Go. I didn't get this clip that everybody seems to have gotten, the tell-all clip. Judy said, Sunny said on the clip for the tell-all that she came back here and cheated on him. Okay, I need to watch this clip. So there's so much that I didn't get. I watched on TLC Go. All I got was a preview for next week. I didn't get nothing. Y'all are getting prime information. I'm telling
you, it's like you could see it from a mile away. We knew that was going to happen. We knew it. I'm not surprised. I'm ready for the tell-all, though. It's going to be entertaining.
I am really excited for the tell-all. Yeah, so Shelly says that she was seeing someone. So she came back here and had a boyfriend, which is crazy because she was engaged. And it's like she went through all this and she told this guy's dad and blew up his life and then went back home and was dating somebody else. Like, why would you go and blow up his life if you weren't serious? You know, like, because this is literally going to destroy his relationship with his family. People of certain religions don't forgive and they don't forget.
Nope.
Once you do something that they don't agree with, they won't talk to you. And it's like, if you weren't serious about him, why would you go and blow up his entire world? Like, now his family, his dad, everybody. And then it's like your community. The community will shun your parents. And they didn't even do anything. They just had you. But they blame them for something that you did. I really dislike the idea that she went and put the ring on and pretended to be all in and then came here and cheated after she made him tell his dad. I'm not Team Sunny. I'm not either one, but I think that was really messed up.
Yeah. Not all right, surprised,
though. One more episode until the tell-all, which I know that now because apparently there's a clip that I didn't get. But thank you for everybody putting me up to speed. So we got the finale next week, and then we have a two-part tell-all. And I'm excited for this tell-all. I feel like this season is dragged on. I feel like we've been watching this since this summer. That's probably not true. But I feel like we've been watching like for a really long time. But I'm excited to see where everybody ended up. We already know that Adnan is here in Texas with Tiger Lily. So I'm assuming he probably will be physically at the tell-all. I'm assuming, or maybe he wasn't here then, but he's there here now. So we're going to figure that out. And I'm sure they're filming for something else because I heard that they were filming for something else. So we haven't seen the last of Tiger Puff. She'll be back. But all right, so we're going to come back tomorrow and talk about some Last Resort. And that'll be our last time talking before 2025, right? We're going to go into the new year. And I heard after this season of Happily Ever, after this season is Happily Ever After. I'm not sure, though. It might be OG 90 Day, then Happily Ever After. I'll verify it, but I know we're going straight in. They don't give us breaks anymore. It's constant year-round 90 Day Fiancé. So when this is over, we're going to jump into, I think, Happily Ever After. I'm not sure, though, because we just finished The Other Way. All right, guys, make sure you're following Heather. I'm going to tag her in this video. Make sure you're following me on all social media platforms at George Massey, georgemassey.com. Anywhere, get your podcast type in The George Massey Show. Everybody have a wonderful night. If you don't talk to y'all tomorrow, have a happy new year, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye, guys.